This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are two games into the Stanley Cup Final. It is down to the Caps and the Golden Knights. And just like it started before the last two games, we're still tied. It was 0-0 before after we talked, and now it's 1-1. Before this episode. So we really haven't learned anything. But joining me, as always, what was his hockey name? I looked it up yesterday. Hold on, let me find this. I gotta get this intro.
Speedy Wiz? Speedy Wiz.
Coach Speedy Wiz. How's it going, Coach?
Fast. No, it's been fine. Pretty sure that I had a couple of years taken off my life watching the end of that game yesterday. But aside from that, it's been great.
Yeah, so let's break down the series a little bit. Let's start off with the pregame of the last two games in Vegas. What are your thoughts of the pregame show that Vegas puts on? Because there is a ton of people that are out there. A lot of them hockey pundits who are like, just get to the game. Start playing already. But then there's also like the common fan or the not fair weather, but
the common fan.
The common fan, not the diehards, who were also at the same time going, "What the hell is this? I wanted to watch a hockey game." People were either angry or confused by that by the pre-show that we've seen the last two games. What were your thoughts?
My thoughts are that if you were surprised by anything like that being in Vegas, you clearly haven't been paying attention to like the world since when it was, or 1950s or something. I wasn't overly surprised. I was a bit surprised that the opening was the same thing.
That was stupid.
For game two until they went into Imagine Dragons from game one. Like, I was like, all right, now what are they going to do? And then I was like, wait, all right, so I guess it starts the same, and then it's, like, going to go different. And then it just kept being the same, and I got less interested. I thought the way they, like, transitioned into Imagine Dragons was pretty clever, with, like, the violins and everything. But aside from that, I was, like, it was fine. It was a bit silly. But it is what it is. I mean, it's Vegas.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think you should have expected that pre-show from Vegas. It's their first year as a team. It's their first year in the Stanley Cup Final. Of course they're going to put on a big show. They have for every other round. I was a little weirded out the fact that it was the same show, though. Like, but that is a very Vegas thing, you know? Come back and see the 9 o'clock show, or it's got fireworks this time, or something like that. But it's the same show. So, I mean, that was not that surprising. I wish they would have done something a little bit differently, like maybe updated the voiceover and talked about, like, what happened in game one.
Yeah, like, it would have been an easy thing to be like, after game one, Vegas up 1-0, or something a bit more intense. Right. But it was a bit silly.
Maybe it's like the video nerd in me as well, but I was so confused with the beginning because like they cut back to the knight who is like up in the rafters, and then they cut to the knight who's on the ice, and they just keep circling around the knight with the camera, and then you hear like an eagle screech, and you hear like arrows being prepped, and then for some reason there's a Capital guy just like flying, like. Did I miss something where, like, an eagle turned into a human, and now this
That confused me, too.
I was so confused.
I was like, how? I was, like, waiting for a giant bird, which, first of all, aren't bald eagles still on the endangered species list?
So very, is Vegas very much so, okay? Yeah.
It sounds like they're saying it's okay to hunt endangered species, Brandon. I don't think that's appropriate.
Of course, no, they're
going to do this big, like, thing, like, start at 7:30 so the game can start at 8. Okay, I got TV shows I got to watch afterwards.
Well, you're so hyped up.
Like 11:15.
You're so hyped up after the game, you can't go to bed like right afterwards. I've been staying up till like 1:30.
No, I need a drink, man.
The other thing that I thought was a little weird was the fact that they got Michael Buffer to do the pregame and do the intros, which I thought was cool. Again, very Vegas-esque thing to do. But his brother, Bruce Buffer, does all of the UFC fights in Vegas. So I kind of felt like, what, is like Michael Buffer like cheaper now than his little brother? Or
nah, he's a Vegas guy. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if he's from Vegas or anything, but, you know, I'm sure he's used to that. And they're probably like, hey, it's a Stanley Cup Finals, game one. You want to come out and we can just kind of be a little ridiculous?
It may have also been a little bit too much travel because he did do the UFC fight that was in Liverpool on Sunday. So, I mean, it may have been a travel thing. But I was like, hey, you know, this feels – it's Michael Buffer. It's like 1997 WCW Nitro is what it felt like. So, I mean, that's cool. But, all right, so – let's talk about, do you think the Caps are going to know anything like that for a pre-show? Or are they going to be like, here's the anthem, we're playing hot?
I don't think you even try to, like, one-up them in the pre-show, because they're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
It was too ridiculous. I think you come in, you do a little something. I mean, were they really doing anything before the other games? Like, every game Vegas, I feel like in the playoffs, Vegas is doing a big thing. You know, I remember I saw the intro for when they, or part of it, when they played the Jets, and so I kind of wonder if, like, this is just their thing, but no one else is really doing it. Like, maybe the Caps do, like, a little something about the Cup coming back to D.C. or something like that, the finals.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do, okay?
You start the game on time.
Battle bots at Capital One Arena. You have a Russian machine, and then you have a machine, like a robot dude, like old-school Power Ranger style, dressed up like a knight, and they just duke it out at center ice. And then, like, the knight's head pops off, and then we start the game. Yeah.
No, let's just play some hockey. Well, not us, because we don't play, but, you know, them. Let them play some hockey.
All right, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Stanley Cup Final. Let's talk about the hockey that happened on the ice. So the Caps dropped game one. Gotta say, I'm not surprised by that. They had less sleep than the Vegas Golden Knights, so, you know, they were well rested. They were at home. It was their first Stanley Cup final as a team, and first time, you know, in the town, so there was a lot of excitement. So, of course, the Knights are going to come out swinging. So I'm not surprised the Caps dropped game one. I am very happy to see a lot of the stuff that I saw in game one that the Caps were doing wrong that they fixed. I mean, Holpe was giving out...
Were they, though?
They were, yeah. Holpe was giving out some major rebounds in game one. He tightened that.
Yeah, and he still struggled a bit. I mean, if you look at...
But it was much better in game two.
Yeah, but if you look at, like, they still struggled in the areas they were struggling. So the defense was pretty subpar in game one. I mean, you score four on Fleury, you should win that game.
Yes, 100%.
The fact that they gave up five and an empty netter is a problem. But you look at game two, and you got Orlov, who sort of nonchalantly tried to just knock the puck out of the air and got taken away by Neil, and then Neil went glove side high on Holpe, which you feel like Holpe should have made the save. And so it was a bit of a slow start. There was definitely a lot of times where the Caps were still chasing as opposed to playing where they need to be playing, whether it's man or zone or whatever. But there was definitely some issues. There's still some issues going defensively. Holpe's still giving up a couple of rebounds, but he definitely got that a bit better. But defensively, this team really needs to step up. I mean, they did at times last night, but they need to find a way to start games better.
I mean, Brooks Orpik got a goal. How insane is that? But, like, Dmitry Orlov, I don't care what anybody says. The dude has off games. He does do some really dumb things. I'm not completely sold on Dmitry Orlov being, like, a long-term guy here, but, you know, he signed the big contract. So.
You just hate Orlov.
He's subpar.
You're an Orlov hater. Admit it.
Subpar. But the Golden Knights, you could tell these guys came in after they had done their homework. They studied that Tampa Bay Lightning series, and they saw what to do. I mean, they came out, and they knew it was all rebounds. That's how you were going to get goals on Holpe. They were slapping the puck up against the back wall as much as possible to get it to go behind the net to make him kind of have to readjust his body from side to side, and it worked. But in game two, I kind of felt like the Capitals realized what the Knights were doing and were able to come back and kind of play defensively a little bit better and kind of prepare for that. They knew what the Knights' game plan going in was for game two.
Yeah, it's, you know, Vegas is an interesting team. It kind of felt like there's a bunch of times last night where I kept going, wait, how many guys do they have on the ice? Because you feel like they're always kind of in your face.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and they're
yes.
all over. I mean, they're a high energy, high pressure team. They're definitely up and they don't, you know, they're not giving you a lot of space. And the Caps aren't necessarily used to that at this point. I mean, the Penguins were a bit like that. Tampa, not as much. Columbus, not as much. But what the Capitals are doing is that they're able to take advantage sometimes of the situations that are given to them. You look at Lars Eller in game one, he had that great opportunity at the end, and whether he was slashed on the stick or not.
Slashed.
It's sort of, yeah, it was a bit of a slash, yeah. But either way, it's an opportunity that just didn't work, and he should have esoteric in it to some extent.
Eller stepped up in game two when he had to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because Kuznetsov goes down, Eller steps up, and he's the man again. And if this is the kind of play you're going to get from Eller, you know, you can give, I mean, you don't want to give Kuznetsov a night off or anything, but if he needs that time off, you're slightly less concerned because you know someone like Eller can step up.
Yeah, and we'll talk about game two and Kuznetsov everything a little bit later, but I do want to continue talking about game one. Ovechkin game one kind of seemed like he had a little bit of jitters. To me, at least, he you know, game two, we saw him get his first Stanley Cup final goal, which was great. But game one, Ovi looked a little overstressed.
They all did to some extent. I mean, yeah. It's an intense situation. There's a lot of energy going. Your nerves are going a bit crazy. But the Golden Knights have done a really good job of sort of shutting him down.
Yeah,
Nate Schmidt's been all over him.
And Schmidty and Ovi were boys, you know, when Schmidty was in town here. So I feel like Schmidt's got a little bit of dirt on him.
Yeah, I've been wondering that kind of like the Caps kind of know how Schmidt plays to some extent. Schmidt knows how the Caps plays to some extent. But it's going to be interesting with Trotz getting to sort of control the lineup combinations.
Right.
Because they get to put their lineup out second. How it's going to work in DC and how he can kind of get Ovechkin away from their top defensive unit from time to time.
Right.
I feel like that's definitely going to benefit the Capitals, obviously, moving forward because they're going to have more opportunities to give Ovechkin time away from Nate Schmidt and the ridiculousness that his play has turned into. I mean, talk about a guy who's gone from what did Trotz call him, the seventh best defenseman to
who wasn't even playing in the playoffs last year,
and he now is top pairing defenseman on what right now I believe is the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, and so that's kind of crazy in its own right.
Yes, yeah, it is. So still talking about game one, Tom Wilson. Big hit.
Wilson, great controversy. What a surprise.
I know. Late hit. I mean, we all could admit, late hit.
Yeah, late. Not like dramatically late. Like you're not going, what? The puck left 20 minutes ago. But right. You're like, you probably didn't need to do that. You could have bumped him. You could have been a little bit of a, you know, you go by and you give him a little shot, but nothing like that bad. Like give him a little, you know, a little, not a punch, but like, you know, a little hand jab or something. Kind of, I don't know, that is a punch. Like a little something to just kind of get under his skin, but you're not to go and just lay him out. Now, I found it interesting that Wilson came out and said that Marchus, I don't know how to say his name. He's got far too many letters of this that are the same in a row. But the Vegas guy, Marchus something, he said afterwards, he was like, oh, good hit.
Yeah.
Or when he got up, which, you know, maybe he was just kind of delirious because he didn't know where he was right then because he got laid out. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a bad hit by Wilson. It's another opportunity for people that don't like him, which seems to be most people that are not Capitals fans. It's
definitely the NBC.
To be like, look at this guy again. He's doing it again, guys.
I think there's
an interesting point.
Go ahead.
There's an interesting point that was brought up that play doesn't happen if the referees weren't letting as much, like they weren't letting the Vegas and probably the Caps to some extent get away with things like Ryan Reeves' goal. Is the result of a clear cross check to the back of John Carlson, which is 2 minutes in the box. But instead of him getting a 2 minute penalty, they get a goal, which then propels them even more forward. Gives them, I mean, took the lead at that point.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to you: was does that Tom Wilson hit happen if that Ryan?
No, he just penalty... does a different hit. That's stupid. I'm yeah. sure.
If that Ryan
doesn't Reeves... really matter. He's got a dumb hit coming at some point,
right?
Maybe it's just getting his dumb hit per series out of the way at this point. Yeah. Like, I get one, I get it out of the way now.
If the Ryan Reeves cross check gets called, does the Tom Wilson hit even happen? I mean, who knows? Maybe. It's you know,
it's too hard to say because this is not you know, I have Doctor Strange's the Time Stone or whatever the hell it's called.
The terrible
movie. Infinity War?
No, no, Doctor Strange, the standalone.
Oh, terrible. I like Doctor Strange. Anyways, this is not. Oh God, I'm trying to think of what is the other thing with time and going back.
Back to the Future.
No, no, because that'd be too. No, Edge of Tomorrow. I enjoyed that film. You know, you're not going to go back in time and see what happened. Let me try it this way instead. So the reality is, whether Reeves' play happens or not, Wilson takes a stupid penalty again, and he gets himself into trouble. And he learned from his past mistakes? You know, it wasn't a headshot, So I guess there's improvement. Maybe it's his timing that's the problem. You know. He's not great at sort of picking the right time, or he's always late. He's a
doesn't know his social cues.
Typical millennial is always late. No, he just doesn't like he doesn't know what he's doing. That's not true.
All right, well, game one could have went the Caps' way, it didn't. But like you said, I mean, the Caps scored 4 on Fleury. Fleury looked very human in these last 2 games, which I think. Kind of is the Caps' benefit. Everyone was talking about how great Fleury is, and I think it's good that the Caps are up against Fleury right now because they have history with him. They know how he plays. You know,
yeah, their history's not on their side, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
like, we have history. It's bad. Oh, crap.
But like,
he beats you every time.
They don't know the Vegas Golden Knights. They've faced them 4 times twice. At this point.
Lifetime.
Yeah. So but they have faced Fleury a whole bunch of times. So they know him a little bit better than they know the actual team of the Golden Knights. So that might actually work out in their favor. All right. So let's move on. Talk about game 2. The Capitals, they won game 2, even the series up 1-1, heading back to DC with a win, with all the momentum, which is good. But this has been some fantastic hockey the last 2 games. Let's talk about that Kuznetsov injury. Looked like he damaged or broke maybe his wrist or part of his hand. They're saying he's day-to-day.
I don't think it's broken.
You don't think it's broken? You think it's just a strain?
No, because at first the Caps came out and said he was questionable to return.
Right. But you don't think that's just like a tactic to like throw off the Knights?
No, because he's not out there. They don't care at that point. Like, I think it's a sprain. Obviously something because he right away was like, well, that's not good. So something is definitely wrong. I don't know if it was broken. I don't know if I go so far as to say like they're like, well, we'll say he might come back tonight to make them think about it. Whereas they're probably like, whoop, got a good player off the ice. Not that the dude was trying to hurt him. But
no, it didn't look like a malicious hit.
No, I think maybe he misses game 3 and could be back for game 4. That would be really? My early assumption. I feel like they took – was the injury before or after the 3-1 lead?
It was
– I can't remember.
Before.
So I kind of wonder when they went up 3-1 if they were like, all right, we're just going to hold him out. You know, there's no point because if we put him back in and then he does severely damage it, then – they'll make it worse. I don't know. He'll be out for the rest of the series or season, essentially. So my assumption is that they're kind of like thinking about it and they're like, you know what? We'll hold him off. Whereas, you know, I feel like he could come back. He says day to day, but with this team, that could mean anything. They've had players that were day to day for months.
Wasn't Brooks Orpik day to day for when he broke his hip?
He was day to day for like a season.
Yeah.
So, I do feel like he'll be back. I think depending on, you know, we'll see. The nice thing is they have an extra day off. So if they're going every other day having a game, they'd be playing tomorrow, but they're not playing until Saturday. So they do have one more day. I mean, hopefully they're not still sitting on the tarmac at this point at Dulles.
Yeah, they were
I don't know if you saw
there.
About that because of the storms. But I do feel like that extra day is going to be helpful. They'll have a chance to kind of sit out. We'll see if he practices tomorrow. I have to imagine they're going to practice, or if he's at the morning skate.
It's an optional Saturday. Skate for the team.
So, well, then he's definitely not going to do it. You know, maybe he goes out skate. What do you think it is? Kind of looked like it was either his elbow or his wrist.
I saw wrist or hand. Like,
I don't think it's his hand because he was holding like I'm trying to show you now how it is, which is great since this is an audio medium. That
you're also showing me off camera.
Yeah, well, I didn't. It's a tiny window, man. What the way he was holding his arm, it felt to me like it was like his elbow or his wrist. But the hit didn't look like that bad in terms of the physicality of it.
Right.
I know there are people saying there should have been a penalty or something because it was a little high, but it sounded almost like his arm just got stuck between the dude, was it McNabb, and the boards or the glass. So it could just be that it just maybe, you know, it was kind of maybe it was an awkward angle when he hit it and he just sprained. I'm hoping it's just a sprain.
Yeah, I'm thinking he just kind of maybe like torqued it and you know, strained a muscle a little bit there. Ovi said afterwards, he's like, oh, we don't expect him to miss any time. So Ovechkin's saying, it's not a big deal.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ovi.
He'll be back. Other Russian machine don't break, or whatever he said.
But no, I think I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was a bad hit. I think it was just one of those, you know, injuries happen. But he's, you know, he's the top line center guy, and you don't want to lose that. However, he goes out. You reunite Nick Backstrom, who was also hurt, and Ovi, and that's always a winning combination, and it was. And then Lars Eller steps up again. I mean, he did this when Nick Backstrom went down against the Penguins, and Lars Eller steps up and looks fantastic in the role he's supposed to be in. Now, we saw what happened when Eller kind of spent too much in that time in that role, but there's only so many games left. So, I mean, he's got a little bit of time to still do what he's got to do, but Lars Eller, I mean, he's been the go-to guy in this playoff series. So, I mean, he's
been their super utility player in a way. You know, it's the Caps are, you know, something we wanted for a while, and it took a couple of years, but the Caps are pretty strong down the middle in terms of Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Eller, and Beagle. And, you know, when someone goes out, when Backstrom went out, Eller stepped up. Now Kuznetsov was out, Eller stepped up last night and played really well. Backstrom stepped into the first line role, and which also helps because Backstrom and Ovechkin played together for so long.
Yeah.
So that's not going to cause any problems. So to have those guys together is great. And then Beagle or someone can step on, whether it's Stevenson or someone steps onto that third line.
Now, hypothetically, if Yevgeny Kuznetsov does miss game three, like you were saying, potentially could happen, who of the reserves gets a jersey? Do you think it's Chiasson?
Walker.
Really?
He played in, there were two guys out though.
Yeah, that was, wasn't it? Well, it was three guys out, wasn't it? It was,
Backstrom,
Wilson, and who else was it? And Burakovsky.
Oh, that's right. Oh, right. Like everybody was out. Yeah, it's probably Chiasson. I think he's gone after the season. I haven't really been overly impressed with his play in the playoffs.
What? Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Am I getting him confused with somebody else? I feel like he hasn't really done much.
I mean, he was one of the guys that got the big goal in Game 6 against the Penguins.
But one game ain't going to make a career, man.
But he's been a solid grinder. He's been a guy that you can – I mean, he's not going to light up the score sheet as much as you would hope, but he's been a grinder. I mean, I think you could pair him with Jay Beagle.
Dude, he's got 2 points in 16 games.
All right, well, I mean...
Brooks Orpik has more points than he does.
Well, Brooks Orpik is playing like a madman right now.
He scored, and everyone was like, what?
That,
Did he know what he was doing?
Did he mean to do that? I mean, it's great, but really?
Like, you kind of have to wonder if he was like, whoops, sorry, guys, didn't mean to do that.
Oh, well, that went in.
My bad.
That's unexpected.
He's a plus 16. God, Orpik's stepping up. I'm going to have to eat my words a little bit. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I'm not overly thrilled with Chiasson's play. I think it's likely that he's the guy that goes in. I mean, he's played 16 games with 2 points, but then the only other guys that are available are Nathan Walker, Shane Gersh, or Travis Boyd, who have all played one or two games, and that's it. No, you're probably right. I think I'd like to see Walker or Boyd, but I think you're right that Chiasson gets in.
Now, who centers? So, you got Backstrom, Eller, Jay Beagle. Who centers that fourth line?
That's a good question. I think Chiasson steps into the third line. You shift Stevenson over. Beagle's left on the fourth line.
Yeah, because Stevenson, he's done the center position a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, he could do it. I could see that.
I mean, his faceoff percentage right now is 46.84. It's not terrible.
Talk about winning faceoffs. Jay Beagle has just been.
That's all he does.
Fantastic. I mean, that's what you want in a faceoff guru like that. Jay Beagle, I love Jay Beagle. I think he's just one of those players that, you know, he's like Lars Eller has taken the spot of he's like the utility guy. Jay Beagle used to do that, but Jay Beagle, I mean, he rallies the troops. He gets guys, you know, ready to rock and roll. And he's doing his job perfectly this postseason.
Beagle's doing what he's expected to do. Like you said, he's a grinding guy, win face-offs. I mean, last night they had he was, according to Pierre McGuire, so take that with a nice grain of salt, he came to the bench, been uncomfortable, grimacing or whatever, and the Caps were like, nope, get your butt back out there, call it a face-off. And I want to say it was in the defensive zone, so it's one of those where they're like, you know, it needs to be done. So when they need a face-off win, Beagle's your guy.
Yeah, Jay Beagle's fantastic. All right.
Yeah,
so Ovechkin, he gets his first goal of the Stanley Cup final ever, which was great to see. He seemed to have settled down after game one and really gotten down to what his role's got to be in game two, adjusted his game a little bit. But he's, again, also doing fantastic in game two and looks solid. And you know, when Ovi's got to step up, he's stepping up, which is what the captain should be doing.
I mean, he's not a guy that Ovechkin being a guy that's going to go out and rah-rah the troops. Now, I mean, he might, as we saw in sort of the pregame stuff. This team likes to drop the F-bomb, apparently. That's like a thing. I've read from Isabel Kershudin of the Washington Post that they like to drop F-bombs a lot. But he was, before the game, he was yelling at everybody. He's a mother effer and F and all that sort of. This is a family show, so I'm not going to say the words. But he was dropping all kinds of bad words the other night. So
that seems to be a pregame warm-up where him and Oshie just like bump chests and then scream at each other in the face. We should try that. We should try that next podcast. That's how we start it.
I don't want to do that. No. Would be my answer. He's having, I mean, they're going to focus on him, which then it should open up other guys, but Vegas is like freaking everywhere. So, you know, they got a lot of guys in your face at all times. So it's always a little tricky, but Ovechkin's, you know, he's trying to do his thing. And I think being back in DC is going to help because they're going to have control of which lines are to some extent, which lines are out there.
Now, is it going to help though? Because this team at home has not been the greatest in this playoff run. They've done really well on the road, but when they come home, I don't know what it is about playing in their own barn, but they just have this. Is it
six against Tampa?
Is it the added pressure of like we got to do good by our home fans? You know, we gotta. You know, we're not the underdogs here. Everyone's cheering for us. You know, what is it about playing at home that these guys just don't like?
I don't think so. They don't like it necessarily.
Have you been to this place? Oh, Capital One Arena. What a dump.
I like the Verizon as a name better.
There's so much traffic. Ugh.
I don't want to put – well, that hasn't changed, so that shouldn't be affecting anything. That's always going to – maybe they start taking the Metro, and that's part of the problem.
Oh, that would just make – Tom Wilson, no wonder he hits people if he's taking the Metro.
God, I had to take the Red Line again.
you know they close at 11? Dude, it's not even over yet.
Yeah, who's going to save them on Saturday? Or is it stay open later on the weekends? I don't know. I don't care. God, this whole Metro thing has a whole other problem we can get into another time. Metro sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is with the home ice advantage not being a thing for them this round of these playoffs. It's been a bit weird. Maybe it's a little bit just too comfortable at home. I don't think it's necessarily they want to win it for the fans that it causes them to not play as well. I think that's kind of if that's the case, that's a cop out on them. I think it's just been kind of a weird thing. Maybe that they're on the road, they just bond a little bit better and they're a little more focused. You know, families aren't around and all that stuff, and so they're not quite as distracted. But it's been a bit weird this postseason.
Now, let's talk about Braden Holtby and that save. Holy cow, that save. I've been listening today to like Doc and his call on it. I have not heard John Walton's call yet. I've listened to the Sportsnet call on that. My God, did he fake out everyone? The reaction to the fans in the stands—they were jumping up and down, thinking it was a goal. Everybody thought it was a goal. how does Braden Holtbeeb save that? I thought it was over. I'm like, there it goes. That goal may have potentially could have been like the turning point of the whole series.
Oh, Vegas scores that goal. I think they win that game last night.
Yeah.
They already had a lot of momentum. I think they definitely win the game. I think the save, see, the thing about that is like so many things could have changed to make that goal go in. The guy could take the shot, put it up a little bit higher, and that's a goal. Holtbeeb's a little bit slower. I think it's credit to Holtbeeb for not only his awareness of where the puck was and potentially where the player was. You know, the player, I would assume, would likely want to keep that puck not too high because you run the risk if you're trying to lift it, lifting it over the net. So you kind of just want to hit it straight. So Holtbeeb's, I would have to think, is kind of aware of that. And then it's just his flexibility to just spin around and throw the stick out. And then not only that, but then after he's got the puck on the stick, to then cover it up quickly and to be able to – his reaction time. So, yeah, you know, it was definitely an amazing save. But it's, you know, some of those where you're just like, I don't know how you did that. Things just worked in his favor, and he had a great opportunity to make a great save.
Now, I remember probably like 08, 09 maybe. Remember Varlamov and his –
the one against Crosby. The one against Crosby. That's everything being compared to, the Varlamov second round – I want to say.
I think it was second round.
That one I would say was actually a better save.
Really? You think Phil and I, the famous Phil that we were, have been talking about the last couple weeks, don't call him famous Phil. That's just going to go right to his head.
He's definitely will. he's a Chelsea fan, so he's already got a huge ego.
Yeah.
You don't know what that's a European football. Just
they wear blue.
Whoops. I didn't know the volume was on my phone. I was going to look for a long off save. Here, hold on. We can listen to it. Because listen to Emmerich when he goes. That save was. Go to watch it again, Brandon, because I feel like the save by Varlamov was insane. Let me cue it up for you, buddy. So you got the Penguins bringing it down, center ice, Crosby with a nice pass, and then I can't tell who it is because it's paused on my phone, but the Caps defenseman just kind of pushes him, which does nothing. So Crosby just blows past him like, you know, get out of here, little ant in red, and goes. Varlamov overplaying it a little bit. So Crosby's now wide open. Varlamov is almost on the other side of the freaking crease, just dives back. And the thing is, he's not like – and I'm not crapping on Holtbeeb's save. Holtbeeb's save, the stick was all down. Varlamov catches it with just a little, like, curvature of the blade. Or the little, I don't know what you would call it, the little nook, the little, you know, that little spot curves up. He just catches it right there. Varlamov save, nothing against Holtbeeb, in my mind, was definitely a better save. Should we listen to it one more time?
All right, let's listen to it one more time.
That was insane. Crosby's like throwing his arms up like, yeah, I scored. No way. He actually stopped that. I did see with the Holtbeeb save, the Vegas fans all jumped up. And like you couldn't tell on TV that he'd saved it because you couldn't see the puck because it was under his glove at that point.
Oh, I was freaking out. Like I was like,
damn it, they're tied it up. Wait. Because like the fans jumped up and I was like, crap. And then, wait, they're waving like they're not signaling the goal. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he pulled that off.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. I mean, that's...
Why was the volume up on my phone so loud?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But that was, I mean, that really could be like a turning point for this team. Like, everybody was talking about it after the game. They were like, TJ Oshie, what did you think of Braden Holtbeeb's save there? Ovechkin, what did you think of Braden Holtbeeb's save there? Braden, what did you think of your save? And he was just like, well, it's just a save.
It.
Yeah, I kind of did what I had to do. So, I mean...
No, it was a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely, just fantastic goal, goaltending right there. So hopefully we get to see that a little bit more going forward. Anything else you want to spotlight in these two games?
I think Oshie's stepping up a bit. His play, his physicality. Oshie doesn't look like a guy who would be really physical.
Yeah.
I think because he still kind of has the, like, what's it called? I can't think of words right now. That not boyish charm,
baby face.
But baby face. Thank you. He's got a bit of a baby face. You don't think that he's gonna go and like hit a dude, But then the other guy tried to hit him. I can't remember who it was. In the game, I think it was last night's game. And he just kind of like bounced off him. Now, he took a stupid penalty that led to Vegas' second goal.
Yeah, that was
And like, dumb. You have to keep your emotions in check. And I understand. Like, I play, obviously not quite as intense. But I play indoor soccer. And I, you know, if someone does something where they trip me or whatever, or they do something and I get a call for it, and I get a little angry. But you have to keep your emotions in check in that situation. And he's a professional. I am not a professional soccer player. I'm nowhere near good enough. But you have to be able to keep your emotions in check and understanding that this is not a regular season game, and that when you make that kind of mistake where you let your emotions get the better of you, it doesn't just cost you because you're going into the box. It potentially costs your team a win. Think if Holtby doesn't make that save, it's 3-3. But if Oshie doesn't give up the penalty or take the stupid penalty and they still score on Holtby on that play, it's only 3-2, theoretically. So he needs to – the players in general, they got to keep their emotions in check and understand that you can let the other team get all rowdy and you want to be able to defend yourself, but let them take the stupid penalty and take advantage on the power play.
Yeah, that's something that you definitely got to do. You got to keep it in check because Oshie being off the ice 100% was the reason why Vegas got that goal. I mean, they were able to go man up. You know, you're putting your team at a disadvantage. And the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, it's a Stanley Cup final. They will take advantage of that chance you're giving them. So, I mean, that would, yeah, just don't be dumb. If you're dumb, you don't get to play.
Yeah, if you're, that's our motto. It's not really a great motto.
All right, so what do the Caps do now? Looking forward to Game 3 and beyond, what do the Caps do to keep that momentum going in their favor and to make sure that they come to DC, play two games, and head back to Vegas with two wins?
So, you know, I'm going to say it. Score more goals than the other team. No, I think you've got to find a way to get Ovechkin a little bit more open or a little freer on the ice. I think you got to match Vegas's intensity and then try and one-up it. I think you need to push back when they start to go on a run, because once Vegas gets moving and they're cycling the puck, it's hard for the Caps to sort of get it out on their own end. I think you need to start matching their intensity and their level. And just sometimes to try and get them to play your game. Vegas is a very fast team, and that's not to say the Capitals aren't, but they're not as fast. And so you got to find a way to slow the game down a bit. And you watch how they played last night, plugging up the middle. They did a great job stopping a lot of things in the same way that they did in Game 6 and 7 against Tampa and Game 6 in Pittsburgh, where they just shut the other team down. Vegas was able to still get their opportunities, but I think the Capitals need to continue doing that. Try and get an early lead. I think the first 10 minutes in D.C. are going to be intense. I think you got to try and control your emotions, get an early lead, and go from there.
Well, hopefully the town will be a rockin' come Saturday and Monday.
Oh, it's gonna be nuts.
Yeah, I mean, they sold out the viewing party.
The viewing party, those things have been intense. And it's actually pretty, I mean, they're free. They have vendors and everything there, which is pretty cool for the Caps because you're not making any money on ticket sales. So, I mean, those things are pretty nuts.
You know, right now Ted Leonsis is kicking himself because he's like, look at all these people.
No, nah, man, he flew like, what was it, 200 people out to Vegas or 20 people out to Vegas?
Yeah.
Some amount of people. Like, I don't think he cares so much about the money right now. He just wants to win. I think he wants to bring – DC needs a championship that wasn't, you know, DC United back in the mid-2000s. Or a tennis.
Does DC United have a game this weekend? Somebody at work was telling me there's another DC sports event going on this weekend.
The Nats, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
Dude, don't talk. The Orioles suck.
They're terrible. Absolutely terrible. Did you know that there were more people at the Caps viewing party watching a game on TV than there was for the O's-Nats game in Baltimore?
I knew it. You didn't even finish it. I knew what you were going to say.
I think there were 14,000.
I don't think DC and I were having a home game because the stadium's not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a – no, they play Tuesday at the Soccerplex. Oh, that's an Open Cup game. The Nats play. Oh, this is, hold on. Right at that point, we have to go to the next month. What did I just click on?
Porn.
No, there's an ad that also had a little arrow, so I thought that was the one to switch. No, the Nats play in Atlanta.
I don't know. Maybe what? Maybe somebody at work didn't know what they were talking about.
The Valor, maybe?
I think they play tonight.
I kind of wish those games were on TV because I want to go to a game.
I think they're on CBS Sports Network. They don't tell you that they're televised. Because, like, I was just flipping through the channel once, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Arena football? And it was, it was the Baltimore game. And I'm like, why didn't anyone say this was on TV?
I want to go to a game. I feel like that would be fun.
I tried with my other podcast, and they wouldn't even talk to me, which I thought was just incredibly stupid.
What? Who? Oh, the Baltimore people wouldn't talk to you?
Yeah, I was like, hey, like, can I interview a couple players? Can I interview the coach? Can I promote your event? Nothing.
I feel like their schedule, the Valor are only playing three different teams.
I think that's all there is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, two of them are owned by Deadly Ounces.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good for the league.
Just wait for the XFL to come back in 2020.
Oh, Jesus, no thank you. Oh, God. You know, I don't know. We'll see. This team, you're killing me. No, I think if they can up their intensity level, then they have a really good shot.
I mean, they're already pretty intense. You think they gotta up it even more?
Yeah, because they need to be able to match Vegas.
I think, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think just do your homework, watch the last two games, get used to them. Because, I mean, last night's game was historical for the Capitals. It was the first Stanley Cup final win in franchise history. It was their first win against the Vegas Golden Knights in franchise history. And it was their first win at the arena in Las Vegas in Caps franchise history. So if they can come home and make some more history and have the first home game be also first home win, there's even more history in the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
Who was it from NBC Sports Washington? I retweeted. Let me find this real quick. Michael Jenkins says, I don't care if this tweet ages well or not, Caps in five.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Jenks, what are you doing, man?
Also, I got to say, big shout out to Ovi the Bulldog and his dad. They drove cross country from San Diego to D.C. to stand outside the Verizon, Capital One Arena. I'm never not going to call it the Verizon Center. How awesome and of fans are they for them to bring Ovi the Bulldog back to D.C. to cheer on the team outside the arena? Like, not even to go into a game, just hanging out outside with the fans. How cool is that?
I think they should have let him in.
Oh, absolutely they should have.
They let him in?
They did once when he did a promotion for it was like a charity for veterans and, you know, having them have dogs that to help them kind of come back to
like a service dog.
Yes. Yeah. That's the word.
Okay. Yeah. That dude follows me, or the dog, or I'm imagining his owner, follows me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Ovi the Bulldog is the best.
I thought it was cool.
You got to follow Ovi the Bulldog on Twitter because when the Caps win, Ovi and his sister Safi get victory cookies.
Oh,
there you go.
All
right. Good. Anything else we should cover before the Caps go against the Vegas Golden Knights for games 3 and 4?
No, we've covered all the big things that happened. We need to see the defense step up even more. Orlov, I'm looking at you.
Yes.
We need to see Wilson make sure he doesn't do anything stupid.
No dumb moves.
No dumb moves, and Holtby's got to keep with the stellar play. I think Vegas is focusing on glove side high, and he's got to work on that.
Who do you think goes to the optional skate tomorrow morning on Friday?
What do they call him? The Black Aces? Like Gersh? Is that how you say his name, by the way?
No idea.
Gersich?
I think it's Gersick. If I was a betting man.
Shane goes. Boyd, probably Walker.
So all the youngins, all the guys that aren't playing every night.
Yeah, pretty much. Grubauer. That'll be my guess.
All right. Anything else we should discuss? Are we going around the NHL tonight?
Nah.
No? All right.
They're bored. Nothing else going on. We've got more to talk about once the season's over, I'm sure. That many coaches fired.
You know what's really funny? We're still doing a podcast, and we are on June Eve pretty much as we're recording this.
June Eve.
And I was on my TimeHop app, and I want to say it was last year or 2 years ago. Let me look it up. We were discussing the Caps preseason schedule because it was released on this day. Let me see.
That's a bit frightening.
2 years ago, the 2016 preseason schedule came out for the Caps. And here we are in 2018, still talking about Caps hockey going into June.
Nice. It's been nice to do.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, as well as occasionally some Arsenal Football Club, and that DC United from time to time. And that's more or less it. Not really following the NFL as much. Baseball's, I don't know, too busy in the summer. Yeah, pretty much it. But hey, Brandon, if you like the show, why don't you go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Find out when new shows are coming out, other events regarding the Washington Capitals, and what other pictures that Brandon can find online that he feels like throwing up there.
You know, I was really proud of myself because I did a new Facebook cover photo featuring us, the Stanley Cup playoff logo, a Vegas Golden Knight logo, the two trophies for the West and East. I thought it was a very nice cover photo. And then Holpe's got to make this amazing save, and I got to take it down to put up the picture of him on that save because it's just too sweet.
Wait, I haven't even seen this.
What a jerk.
When did you do that?
Over the weekend?
Wait, hold on. Oh, no, I did see it. Sorry. The way you described it, I thought it was a different one.
No, I'm still just doing the one. My bad.
Yeah, I saw it. So anyway, somehow that was facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, can you do us all a solid and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to brandocash.com. We're all updated over there. Get all the information that's up to date on What the Puck and any of the other podcasts we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page. Figure out your hockey nickname. NBC Sports put that out there. And I am Big Wiz. Yeah. And Coach Dan is Speedy Wiz.
Yeah. But
my favorite one, my buddy Dave sent me, Speedy Dangles. That was his hockey nickname. So come on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Let us know what your hockey nickname is. Got plenty of stuff going on over there. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social, on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm new. I've been here forever. I listen to What the Puck to get me ready for the games, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Until we talk again, there's two games. Games 3 and 4, both in D.C., both against the Golden Knights. And that is on Saturday, June 2nd, and Monday, June 4th. And both those games start at 8 o'clock. Maybe a little bit later if D.C. puts on a Vegas show, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that being the case.
No, it's just going to be a good old-fashioned... Oh, it is thundering like crazy out right now.
Oh, storm made its way to you.
Yep, so I better go before the power goes out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.